Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Luke, the force is strong with you.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Buddy, this is Dueling Tangents, and from the looks of things, it's a Friday.
You're listening to the feeling of things. It's a Friday.
It's the attitude of things.
Yeah,
it's. The weather's cooperating with us as well. It's like the weather's like it's Friday. I'm done. I'm just gonna stay in the middle of whatever I was doing and just not. I'm gonna leave this project over here. It doesn't matter. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That right there is Luke. Luke is in Madison. In Madison, you're listening to him on 1580 AM. That is WTTN, as well as 92.7 FM. That's Devil Radio. And you're also listening to us on the Devil Radio app. You can get that wherever fine apps are hunted down. I am here in Waukesha on 540 AM. That's WAUK, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw.
The Shaw for Shaw.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. And we're going to have a great time. Give us a call anytime, 844-967-2789. You can also text on that number. That's 844-967-2789.
Yeah, that's 96-PARTY. 844-96-PARTY.
So speaking of Fridays.
Yeah, it's a Friday afternoon. Call the party line. Give us a call. Send us a text. We'd be happy to hear what you got to say. What's on your mind this Friday afternoon? We're going to dive into a number of Wisconsin headlines here, Brian.
Yeah, there's stuff we have not yet addressed that we've been meaning to address this week, so we're going to get into that a little bit later on in the show. We got some breaking news that happened today. At least a development in a union issue, which is pretty awesome. Where do you want to start, sir? You want to talk about Tony Evers?
Yeah, let's go down to the second chance governor. He's making some more headlines there, continuing to exceed previous set, I believe, records for number of pardons, Brian. So take her away.
Yeah, well, I like to start this thing off with a week ago. I drank around the world in Walt Disney World, right? And I drank around the world a little bit too much. It's one of those things, if you're a professional drinker and then you don't for a couple years and then you try and, it's not like riding a bicycle again, let's just say that. And I did not do a good job of performing well. My point is that I sit and did some things that maybe I am not too excited about. So I owned up to them and I talked to people and they gave me another chance. Maybe a little bit of ability for redemption, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure you grew up Catholic, yes?
Yes.
A big part of Catholicism is redemption. It's forgiveness. It's about
second chances,
a little bit, you know, the whole idea of
redemption.
Of redemption, you know? And for me, if you don't believe in redemption, then what are we doing here anyway? Because none of us have done things perfectly. And if you have, okay.
Tell us how, please.
By whose standard? You know what I mean? Because some might say, oh, they led a perfect life. Some might say they led a boring life. Depends on which perspective you're talking about. Who is it to say who's perfect and who isn't? The point is that if you transgress against other people or against society, you need to have a chance at redemption. And I think that's the angle that a lot of the law and order folks, the people that, you know, beat the book and throw the book at people, they go lock them away and, you know, throw away the key and all that. And they forget that most of the people are getting out another time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people that may have been railroaded that maybe not don't need to do that time. And nobody ever thinks about the outcome of these situations.
No.
What happens to these people after we lock them up? Because most of them get out.
Yeah.
Like, even people who have killed other people still, sometimes 50 years later, if they did it young enough, get out on parole. What do we do with these folks? What happens to them? And you know, there we've been talking about cannabis legalization for a long time. There's a lot of folks who have been locked away for a long time, just cannabis-related nonviolent offenses that maybe we don't need to have them in there because, again, let's not forget.
It's legal in like 35 or more states in some form or another across the nation.
It costs us money to house people and put them in prison.
Yeah.
Right? Can we find a better way? Because also, I don't. Last I checked, the people who work in those prisons, the people who are guards, they're not. They're kind of over. They don't. They are stretched beyond thin, and they're not paid enough.
Right. There are worker shortages in the prison guard workforce, I guess.
Yeah.
Here in the state of Wisconsin, and so the fact that yes, there are not enough guards. Is another huge problem, and there's a lot of reform that could be taking place in a lot of different aspects of the government, Brian.
Yeah.
But one of the things is the Wisconsin governor has the capability to be able to pardon, and that pardon is kind of at the end of this whole process. It allows a individual to be able to get that second chance for. Usually, they go through a process to find to apply for these pardons. They have to explain why they believe they qualify for a pardon. And it is a power granted to the Wisconsin governor that Scott Walker, for 8 years, didn't use at all. He said, no second chances. I'm not going to pardon anyone.
Son of a preacher, man.
Didn't use a single pardon in his 8 years in office. So this is a very stark difference from that, but I got the headline over at wispolitics.com. Mm-hmm. Governor Evers grants 49 pardons and brings total pardons granted to 498.
Yeah.
498 pardons in his first term. The former guy did not issue a single pardon in 8 years.
So now when you're talking about things that, you know, what has Governor Evers done, or what has he you argue about, tangible efforts. What has he done for us? What has he done for this community? What has he done for this? This is something he should really put a spotlight on. You know, there was a debate on the Devils, and I don't want to rehash this whole thing about his ad talking about how he wants to reach across the aisle and work with Republicans. That's what he wants to lead with. I'd lead with, look, I'm doing everything I can, and this is one of the powers I have in my hand, and this is how I'm using it. And one of the things he's doing is pardoning 498 people. He has bullet points here, but I want to read what he a quote from him, and I want to read you at least a couple bullet points as
of
to
what
to
the pardons were,
who these people are.
Yeah.
Here's a quote from Governor Evers: "There is power in redemption and forgiveness, especially for folks who've been working to move beyond their past mistakes to be productive, positive members in their communities. I'm grateful for being able to give a second chance to these individuals who worked hard just to do that." So
that is Governor Tony Evers on the notion that he has granted an additional 49 pardons, bringing his total for his first term just under 500 at 498.
Now, yesterday we did this whole, you know, Karl Marx or the Bible thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And in tongue-in-cheek, it was fun and that type of thing, but this is the kind of thing that echoes the type of things that Jesus talked about without even having to reference the Bible. But my point is, this is the type of thing you should be looking at, everybody. This is a good thing for everyone. I want to read some bullet points. And as I'm reading these bullet points, okay, I want everybody to think about who in their life, if not themselves, might have done this.
Or might have been in these situations.
Might have been in a situation where this may have happened and didn't get charged or didn't get in trouble, and how did they end up? Or maybe someone got, you know, had a friend in the department that looked, you know, used their discretion. Maybe people were stopped in this similar situation and the officer looked the other way, said, you know, look, it's your birthday, let's move on.
And I think it's important to remember that some of these pardons are issued after the fact that some of these people have already served their time. This is to help them be able to move on with their lives as well. This isn't just that he's not releasing people with all of these pardons. These pardons are there to be able to make amends, the state of Wisconsin to be able to make amends with something that maybe necessarily shouldn't have still been on a record or things of that nature.
And credit, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't this, like, if they were convicted of a felony and they get pardoned even after they've served their time, doesn't this allow them to vote again?
I would have to do a little homework on that, Brian.
I'm interested in that as well.
Yeah.
But again, here we go. Katrina Allen was 22 when officers found controlled substances at her residence. Now, over 24 years later, Allen resides in Fitchburg and works for a social services organization and the state. Danielle Arrigo was 22 and she's twice sold marijuana to a confidential informant. She now resides in Burlington with her daughter and has earned her associate's degree. Eric Asmus was 20 when he entered his local high school's construction site and stole tools and vandalized the property with a group of friends. About a year later, the group broke into a liquor store to steal beer and concession stand to steal candy. Now, 20 years later, he resides in Fond du Lac with his family. Corin Banks was 24 when he was found in possession of a controlled substance. Now, 27 years later, he resides in Wauwatosa. I'm just going to skip through here. Michael Bartowiak was 24 years old when he disrupted police officers breathalyzing underage drinkers at a concert and then resisted arrest. I love that resisting arrest thing. That's used with discretion as well. He now resides in Madison and works as a carpenter. Deshaun Beck was 23 when he deposited a fraudulent check into his account at a credit union. He now resides in Milwaukee, has obtained his associate and bachelor's degree, and works as an educator at a Catholic school while pursuing his master's degree. Melvin Collins was 18 when she and her several friends robbed a gas station wielding a metal pipe and also twice went joyriding. Nearly three decades later, she now resides in Barron and works as a truck driver. It goes on and on.
This is a full list of
49 people here.
Yes. And so the governor has issued these additional 49 pardons, bringing his grand total to 498 here in his first term. And I think it's important to talk about, Brian, because second chances are important, and this is a power that is only invested with the governor in this state.
Think about this. You know, having stuff on your record, that means you have to carry that around to every employer, and you have to go above and beyond to prove to any employer that you're even trustworthy to even be there in the first place. Whether it's, you know, slinging groceries or, you know, slinging liquor. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. You're listening to us on Devil Radio and The Shaw. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. It's Friday.
Also, fun side note. Try and guess the theme of today's music. Everybody, it's Friday here on the good old, you know, the Devil Radio Network, as well as the Shaw out here in Waukesha. You're in Madison, I'm in Waukesha. We figured that out. I'm Brian, that's Luke. It's Friday. This is Dueling Tangents. That's what the name of the show is. That's
there we good. Go. We'll get to
good
it.
Good things. I'm glad I'm bringing the show back in. Good job. I'm sharp as a sack of wet mice right now. My goodness. Like, you can say a lot of
what does that mean?
You can say a lot of things about Foghorn Leghorn and you know, racist tropes aside. He does have some really good liners. Like, he's a nice kid, but as sharp as a sack of wet mice.
Okay, that's like, what is that referencing?
Oh, yeah. He's another one is he's about as sharp as a pound of wet leather.
Okay. Just a lot of sharp as a wet things.
Oh, no, he does a lot. I mean, you know, look, don't worry about it.
Okay.
It's a good old Foghorn Leghorn. You wouldn't understand. This is back when cartoons taught us what funny was, and that was beating each other up and falling down.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
I'm good for a good Tom and Jerry and cartoon, and I watch plenty of cartoons, but Foghorn Leghorn just wasn't necessarily one, I guess, that resonates a whole lot with me. Because, I remember watching him in cartoons, but it's not like I picked up on all of those different sayings of his.
It sticks in your head. Let's take a phone call real quick, and then we'll go on to our next subject here.
Yeah.
How you doing, Mark? What's going on, buddy?
Oh, not much. Was that a little Stevie Ray Vaughan you're just playing?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just a minute ago. But yeah, I might have got fooled on your Bible or Karl Marx, but I mean, I have an old copy that I found. It was a 1962 issue of the St. Joseph Catholic Bible, and it's actually an issue, you know, when the English translation, when I think from the original English translation, so Noah is spelled N-O-E, and some of the other, you know, names are spelled a little bit funny. But, I mean, a lot of that just kind of resonated with what I had read in that Bible. I mean, I can't remember, even in the Old Testament, there was some of that stuff that Marx might have pirated from the Bible and put into...
Well, that's the point I was trying to make with bringing it up, is that, you know, my Catholic upbringing is what, you know, made me go, oh, I can see how this teaching of Karl Marx might be relevant. I can see that. I'm not saying that we should be all full-blown communists, but my point is that's what made it interesting to me, was from the prism of the religion, looking at Karl Marx and going, oh, that seems similar to me. You know what I mean? Please go.
Yeah, and I know what you mean, because now they've kind of adopted Ayn Rand, her philosophy into the fold, you know, the whole greed is good and the gospel of prosperity and the whole Calvinistic thing, the elect of God are, you know, they're saved anyway, so they don't need to be good. Good deeds don't do anything for you as far as God's concerned, that you don't need to worry about all the stuff Jesus preached in Matthew, that about how we're supposed to treat our fellow man, including prisoners, including the stranger. So, I mean, it's just kind of remarkable
if they wanted to go full-on hedonistic, I'd say maybe adopt the Greeks, but again, they'd have to go and explore their thoughts about democracy as well. So, who knows, man? It's just, I guess it's whatever justifies the means they're trying to do. I mean, there's people who have used the Bible to justify all the wealth that they have stolen from their parishioners. So I don't know what to tell you that way. All I'm just saying is that the things that made Karl Marx interesting to me, let's not pretend I'm some, you know, communist Marxist either. I'm just saying
they're going to clip that now, Brian. Now that you've said that, they're going to clip it and splice it, and they're going to use it against you.
By they, you mean either you or Evan. and you're going to have to clear it either way. So it's fine. It's fine. I don't care. My point is that you need to know what you're talking about and what you're criticizing, as well as, you know, I'm also looking at this through the lens of coming from a religious point of view and going, okay, that I can see how that resonates, right? Yeah. And I'm also not a proponent of any one specific system. I think a hybrid of system works really well. I think the things that work for socialism work really well for things like, I don't know, medicine and education, things that really you shouldn't, you know, I don't know, you know, infrastructure, things like that. But for me, you know, things like the, you know, selling widgets and that type of thing, have that free market happen, you know, make sure that you have enough people to, you know, if you want to have a free market, you have to have enough people participating in it for it to actually work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that's where I come from with that. I think
you also need competition in those markets, though. We're going to dive into that a little bit about the economy and what's going on with, you know, inflation, gas prices of that nature in a little bit here. But real quick, we got Roger from Middleton texting in as well, Brian, saying that he's pretty sure in Wisconsin, felons that have completed their sentence, including parole after release from prison and paid any restitution, are legal to vote. He wanted to clear up the comments about the pardons being made sound like felons cannot vote without a pardon. And he wanted to make sure that myth wasn't going to be.
I definitely thank you for clarifying, because I did not know. And that's why I asked the question.
Right. And so we appreciate Roger from Middleton. You can be like Roger.
Wait,
send us a text.
I was 844. I'm a talk show host, and I said something that I said something that was horrible. I said I didn't know.
Those are the words you're not supposed to say, Brian. Come on, man.
My goodness.
But you could be like Roger in Middleton. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. Those phone lines are also open all hour long. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. But we got a union update as well that we're going to be diving into in this next segment. So give us a call, 844-967-2789. You're listening to us on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM in Madison, and the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha. And Brian, I'm still, I know that it's Stevie Ray Vaughan, but I guess I'm still trying to figure out.
It's really easy.
What? Okay. Well,
do you know who the last person was?
Yes. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Put it together.
It's super, super hard.
super hard.
You know, it's Friday.
I was trying to figure out what the song title was for this one. I was going off of titles, not artists.
No, I got you. Do that. I usually do the titles or something deeper. Like most of the time when I do the Devils, everything I play has a meaning. You know, usually I want to do it for a meaning. Or today, it's really shallow today. I'm totally shallow, and that's fine.
It's
because
Friday.
We're talking about some deep things. We're talking about redemption. We're talking about, you know, Marxism. We're talking about the Bible. We're talking about philosophy. That
all those Friday
thing.
Afternoon
so,
topics. You know, all those.
You got to balance it out. Yeah, again, I'm a fan of balance. I'm not a fan of any one specific all encompassing thing.
Fair enough.
Which is funny because Catholic means universal.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got a number of segments coming up. Give us a call. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Monopoly. One. Many.
Everybody's got a thing. I knew Wonder was coming next. I knew it.
Yeah, it's now a matter of what is it? Like, we know what the thing is. We just, who is it? You know, it's a matter of what song it is. We, you know, either way, it's fine.
I think I know the artist and the song for the next segment too.
I don't think you do.
No,
I guarantee you do not.
Oh darn!
You might know the artist, but you don't know the song for sure.
Fair enough. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I am Luke. That over there is Brian. He's broadcasting from the Waukesha Studios on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. I'm here holding down the fort in the Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. If you want to join the show, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We're taking calls all hour long. Brian.
Yeah.
It's a Friday afternoon, and it feels like a Friday. Like you said, it does feel like a Friday.
I'm also somewhat distracted. My family is texting me. They're trying to plan a giant, you know, family reunion now.
Right now.
In New York. And basically, I think all the young kids, and what I really want to provide going to New York City for the first time for a bunch of young kids, is that they have to have hot dogs. Because all I remember of going to New York City is street vendor hot dogs, ball game hot dogs, and then a hot dog over here, and then a hot dog over there.
How old were you when you went?
Oh, I was like 5, 6, 7.
Okay, that's probably because all you ate at that age, Brian, was hot dogs.
Oh, for sure. That's the only thing that I would probably allow them to put it.
Absolutely. I don't want any other weird food from New York, Mom and Dad. Just give me hot dogs. That's
all I
want.
Takes us down to the Museum of Natural History, and he's just to see the giant blue whale and dinosaurs, which I loved at the time. And all he longed for was just a beautiful steak. And I'm like, hot dog. Anyway, we're all conspiring to shove hot dogs in our kids' faces. That's really what it is.
There you go.
Anyway, I digress too much. But we're going to get to a union story real quick, but I do want to get into a couple callers real quick because they were talking about the last topic. So let's go to Dave in San Francisco. How you doing, David? What's going on, man?
Hey, well, not too bad. You know, I heard you talking about whether or not convicts could regain their ability to vote.
Yes, and a lot of people are informing us. Please enlighten us.
Well, every one of the 50 states have different laws about it, but as far as I understand, most of them allow you, once you've completed your sentence, you can apply for reinstatement of the vote. But the only reason why you could never get your vote reinstated is if you were convicted of fraud. And, that would mean basically if you had committed fraud that you're going to have a pattern and practice of doing fraud, and that would deny you the ability to vote ever again. But along the line of these fake conservatives, I'm going to use the analogy that the organizations that, the Right to Life movement or the Council for National Policy or the Federalist Society or many of these other fake conservative organizations should have their tax-exempt licenses yanked because they have committed fraud. And they should never get the ability to deal with tax dollars again. they should lose their ability to get a tax break because they've committed fraud. And if you just think of the definition of a conservative, a gambler is not a conservative. A person that takes chances with the tax dollars, that gives the money to a crony with no bid contracts, that doesn't look out for the best intentions of tax management, tax dollar management, with just intent to steal and
or for and example, let's say refusing to divest, couple $100 million and then losing that money because you refuse to divest from Russian investments, that type of thing. They're sure. Not this. You're right. I mean, the traditional conservative, and I thank you for your call, David. I appreciate that. And it hits on one of my wonderful trigger talking points.
Right. We're going to go down this tangent, David. So we appreciate your call.
Thank you.
And this is where Brian's going now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want the conservatives to try and I'm not in some magical pie arena where I'm going to get a conservative to go and vote for my liberal candidate. I'm trying to get my Democratic friends to vote for my progressive candidates. I'm not trying to get my Republican friends to vote Democratic. I'm trying to get my Republican friends to vote Republican. Like actual Republican.
Like not storm the Capitol Republican, but
not Republican. I think vaccines cause AIDS Republican. Not
what? Somebody
I'm just
said
doing
that?
Not I'm just gonna destroy my state to go and prove a political point Republican. Not Scott Walker, who's gonna go and score political points rather than, help his state out just so he can try and run for president. And oh, by the way, that didn't work, did it at all? Not even a little bit. In fact, he was an absolute and complete and total waste of time, waste of money, failure because he's a freaking loser. But again, people are like, well, that's the type of thing that we need in this state. Like, why, how do you do that? My point is find an actual conservative, somebody who actually is a conservative, somebody who actually has, principles, gives a crap about financial, fiscal responsibility, gives a crap about, morals, is a Christian and then also, follows the teachings and then acts like one and that type of thing. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. My goodness, we have pushed the subject beyond, but I want to go to our next caller. Let's talk to Joe in Madison. Joe, how are you doing today?
Well, I am ready for a tangent because it's Friday and because I know you guys love your tangents. So I could go for a long time on Foghorn Leghorn, but I'm going to bring it back to religion a bit. And you were on the topic of forgiveness, and I had started with reading a bit from Louisiana is pushing forth some legislation through their legislature that is about creating it's saying that you equal protection from the moment of fertilization to quote all unborn children.
It's fetal personhood.
The process of it,
fetal personhood is what they want. Yep.
Yeah, and in the language of the bill that they have written up, they describe how the zygote at that point, a fertilized zygote from the moment of fertilization, is created in the image of God. And that's the language that's used in their bill. And it just provoked for me the question, well, which God? And I was kind of interested in this because I have heard that among servicemen, service people on ships, for example, in the Navy, U.S. Navy, a lot of them are becoming very interested in the Norse religion. And there had been a bit of a battle about can they wear Norse imagery on their person while they're working, such as when Christians are able to wear a small cross, that sort of thing. So can they wear some Norse imagery? And so I started doing some looking into this, and I ended up on the page that has to do with what kinds of images are allowed for different religions within our military graveyards, okay? And, the usual suspects, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, Unitarian, atheist, and Shinto, which has about seven gods, apparently. And guess what? Norse is covered with Hammer of Thor. You can have that on your gravestone.
Yeah.
Yep, you can Hammer of Thor. And the last was the most beautiful, and I thought you guys might appreciate this. It was a sandhill crane. And I thought, okay, how did that work out? And apparently it was a gay couple in West Coast, I think Oregon, and two women. And one of them was dying and wanted to have an emblem that it was illustrative of her belief system, her God, if you will. And first thought was a bicycle, but then they finally went to a sandhill crane because it had to do with nature and it had to do with joy and dancing and kind of a marriage, you know, that I guess the birds mate for life. So she was overtaken with that and you make a bid for it with the military and they said, fine, sandhill crane, there you go. And apparently now 300 people have also signed on to have that on their tombstone as their God representation.
I'm not familiar with how Sikhs do it, but I know that the Sikhs are also a huge faction in the military, at least in the United States for sure, like long military tradition. I'm assuming that is available as well.
Yes, yes. And certainly, you know, with the medicine wheel, it's available, and other emblems are available for those of Native American soldiers who are service people who wish to have them have their beliefs portrayed on their gravestones. So I guess when they say God, I hope we can start asking the question from now on. Well, which God?
That's an excellent question because the government's not mandating which symbol any of those service members puts on their gravestones. It allows them to choose from a menu of options. They're not forcing them to choose one, and that's the only option if they want it. And unfortunately, if Roe v. Wade is overturned and the terrible argument of, well, we're just going to leave it up to the states. We're not outlawing abortion with this decision, with it was what Alito is essentially writing in the draft opinion piece that was released earlier this week. But they're saying this, that it's up to the states and that there's just going to be the wild, wild west out there. And some states will do what Louisiana's doing. And there's other states like Wisconsin and Michigan that have trigger laws. And then there's other states like Colorado, California, and elsewhere where you have just a completely different range of options depending on where you live. And it really starts for me to question the united aspect of the United States of America.
Yeah, and one other two quick points here. One, if you're talking about the image and likeness of God, I think the Muslim faith may have a little bit of an issue with that. Just throwing that out there. If you're talking about states that have different things, this goes back to the talking about how they treat different felons and going, I want to go to the text lines here. Our buddy Stevie Three Blocks gives us the information that, some southern states, once you're a felon, you cannot vote for the rest of your life. But you go to Vermont, you can vote in prison.
Yeah, and it was a ballot measure in Florida, I believe either in 2018 or 2020, I forget when this ballot measure was on the ballot in the state of Florida, but they asked if they wanted, they left it up to the people, whether or not voting rights should be returned to previously convicted felons, and it passed overwhelmingly in Florida, and now DeSantis and his administration are tweaking all of the things and making sure that everybody has to jump through all of these different hoops just to be able to receive that right again. That the overwhelming, it was like a 60-40 split, like 20-point difference, if I recall correctly, Brian, on that vote. It wasn't close. Floridians wanted felons to be able to vote again, and DeSantis and Republicans in the state of Florida said no. And so, it does vary for voting rights as well across states.
Yeah, they have a saying in Florida, therefore by the grace of Odin go I. Something like that.
One raven or two? One raven or two? Who knows?
depends on the cycle you're talking about. Either way, let's talk to Ron and Madison to round out this segment here. How you doing, Ron? What's going on, man?
Hey, I know that it's possible to have different gods represented on your gravestone as a veteran. I guess my thing is that there shouldn't be a mandating of what people should believe in, period. That's why I don't like what the Supreme Court is doing with Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, that's part of why we made this country in the first place.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. John Adams, during the negotiations for the end of the Barbary War, America is in no way a Christian country.
Well,
but he's a
Alito,
founding father. Oh,
Alito's
goodness.
Actually just going to go back before that then. And Alito,
yes,
in his piece.
Matthew Hale,
yes.
1670s?
Yep.
Come on.
We didn't even exist as a country.
It was a jurist that had sentenced at least two women to death for witchcraft and also a number of other very, very questionable opinions from that centuries-old individual.
It has no bearing on the Constitution of the United States of America.
Yeah,
John Locke, that would have bearing on the Constitution of the United States.
But see, Sam
you're
Alito
talking relevance and logic here, Ron. This is crazy.
Justice Alito essentially was like, well, since at one point in history abortion was illegal, we're just always going to keep abortion illegal here in America, or it's up to the states. Maybe, I guess that's his argument. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That's Brian. We got one more segment left in the week. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
Now, who's responsible for this unwarranted attack on my person?
Probably one of the worst selections I could have chosen from this particular artist. But it's where my mood is at today. It's a shallow. I need to put out a single in the next 3 minutes, so I'm just going to sing what I have in my mind. That's what this single is.
Steve Miller Band, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, that was my guess.
I knew,
was going to go Big Jet Airliner.
Oh, Big Old Jet Had a Light On. That's
yep.
true. Yep. That's fine.
That was going to be my guess, so I had the artist right at least.
The Joker, Smoker, Midnight Toker. But
that's
I
a good one, too.
Yeah, it's kind of.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents.
It's abracadabra, man. I'm going to reach out and grab
Friday.
You.
It's about to be a weekend.
It's full of magic and wonder.
It is. And if you want to join the show, a couple minutes left, give us a call, 844-967-2789. But a story that I wanted to get to and
we've
share
been pushing off,
updates.
But I,
yeah, I know. Great callers have been pushing.
We were
going
to lead with this.
We were, but we chose redemption as a theme for the show today. Yeah. But now we got a little bit.
Let's redeem ourselves
of union updating, and maybe you're going to have to go and make sure that you let wherever you order your cup of Joe this weekend, you favor union. Yes, if you support the unionization efforts at these fine locations, but we got an update about Starbucks unionization here in the state of Wisconsin, Brian. So earlier this week, the second store, the store in Plover, Wisconsin, up near Stevens Point, voted 7-5 to unionize their location. It seems like Starbucks is going to be contesting that, though. There's a couple of ballots that they're questioning about. There was a much closer gap than
seven
the Oak Creek
to five.
Store.
12, yeah. 12 ballots they have to go and verify.
Yeah.
Someone call Michael Gableman. He can pull this out by next forever.
He doesn't know how elections work. You don't want him. You're going to get the National Labor Relations
Unions?
Board in there.
No. There was clearly 40,000 people who voted the wrong. There's only 12 votes total. 40,000. Anyway.
So very close vote up in Plover, Wisconsin for this Starbucks unionization. A little bit wider than the Oak Creek vote that took place at the end of last month. 15-8 was that vote in Oak Creek to become the first unionized Starbucks location in the state. And so it's going to be seen whether or not this Plover location, it's going to be reviewed, whether or not this unionization vote was done the way that it was supposed to be. The workers that won the vote contend that it was.
How do you not account for 12 votes? I don't understand.
Well,
this
will
works.
Be the interesting part too, because apparently, Brian, management at this Starbucks location has fired one of the shift leaders that was involved with the unionization effort. So it'll be really questionable to see how the National Labor Relations Board is going to handle this, because earlier today, the shift supervisor, and he's quoted in this story at WSAU News 9 earlier in the week, Colton Gosnell tells News 9 his coworkers are, quote, super excited to join some 50 other stores to begin negotiations with Starbucks. But earlier today, that same individual, Colton, tweeted out from his personal account saying that he had been let go and he was terminated. So it's going to be a really interesting review to see what's going on there. But that sounds like kind of a national trend that Starbucks is approaching for these these union busting efforts that it's taking, not just in Plover, Wisconsin, but around the nation. And interestingly enough, Brian, Starbucks Workers United met yesterday at the White House with President Biden, along with a lot of other representatives for unionization efforts around the country for other companies, unionizations at Amazon, Starbucks, just to name a few. And Starbucks wasn't too pleased about this, Brian.
Oh.
So I got a letter here that Starbucks sent the White House, which I felt like I had to share. And it's written by A.J. Jones, the Senior Vice President of Global Communications and Public Affairs for Starbucks.
To be fair, finally A.J. Jones had actually something to do.
A.J. Jones the second.
Yeah. Oh, the second.
Second.
Finally actually had something to do for a job, because I'm pretty sure at that level, what are you doing besides going around and saying,
do you think he personally wrote it, or do you think somebody else wrote it for him?
Oh, I guarantee you that this was not just him.
Probably.
100%.
No,
how is it that the upper echelons of corporate life, the more money you make, the less you can actually do for your own self, let alone know what a freaking PDF is? Well, but anyway, let's move on.
I would contend that it was an anti-union firm that was probably hired and retained by Starbucks that penned this letter, and then they threw A.J. Jones, excuse me.
All I'm saying
A.J. Jones' name on it.
Yeah, probably. But all I'm saying is the higher up you go and the more money you make, the less competent you have to be. Let's move on.
Yeah, and so this letter is written to the White House counsel. Dear Mr. Ricchetti, I'm reaching out on behalf of Starbucks Coffee Company in response to the White House's recent meeting with union organizations, which included Workers United, to discuss the efforts to unionize our company. We are deeply concerned that Workers United, which is actively engaged in collective bargaining with us and trying to organize all our stores and our more than 240,000 partners, and then in parentheses, employees. So it wants to call them partners, and then clearly lets you know, in parentheses, what I'm referring to as partners is employees.
You can't rename them, because if you rename them partners, last I checked, partners in business got an equitable share of the profits. But anyway, let's move on.
The partners was invited to the meeting while not inviting official Starbucks representatives to discuss our view on the matter. We believe this lack of representation discounts the reality that the majority of our partners oppose being members of a union and the unionization tactics being deployed by Workers United. As you know, American workers have the absolute right to decide for themselves to unionize or not to unionize without any undue influences.
That's why we seek to influence and represent them without their representation or desired influence.
That's why we have a firm probably on retainer.
You know what?
Busting the union.
My first inclination when I hear that is it reminds me of an addict that is really mad that the people didn't, invite them to the planning of their intervention. You know, like, what is wrong with you that you think that, oh, yeah, you guys are trying to unionize against us, and why didn't you tell us and include us in all of your planning for that?
Right. Biden had an event that had unionization effort representatives.
If you want to be invited to the union stuff, maybe have unionized employees. If you don't, then I'm sorry. You're not part of that club. If you're part of the Star Wars club, you can't get mad that they're not fans of Star Trek. You know, you can't. You have to. They're fans of unions. It's the unions club. You guys aren't fans of unions. You don't get invited. You don't get to get. But that's right.
Can't read the full letter because this is a little bit longer, Brian, but they're essentially demanding their own appearance at the White House to be able to, air their grievances and share their side of the story.
Okay, how many times have Starbucks been to the White House in the past versus how many times have their workers been to the White House in the past? How about you go and sit down? It's okay if your little brother gets a lollipop, you freaking child.
Or it's a great thing that their partners have a union to bargain on their behalf.
That's right, they're partners.
They're partners. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Have an excellent weekend. Happy Mother's Day. And we will see you on Monday at 2.
Abracadabra.
This is dangerous, son. You got to know how to handle it. One wrong move and you're done for.
Yeah, that's a joke, son. Don't you get it?
Go away, boy. You bother me. I got work to do.